Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined by our Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how are you doing today?
Excellent. Mr. Solly, how are you?
I'm doing all right. So this is our second fantasy podcast of the week. Tuesday was kind of a bonus podcast with all of the stuff going on in daily fantasy sports with DraftKings data leak and how FanDuel is involved and a lot of the legal issues and whether or not DFS is even going to be legal in the state of Illinois by, I don't know, the end of this podcast. We addressed that all yesterday with Joe Ostrowski, who was just an awesome guest, and thank you again to Joe for coming on. He's really knowledgeable about this stuff, and thanks again from 670 The Score. So if you want to listen to some of that, we have that already in the iTunes store, so go ahead and download that. But we're going to get you ready for this week in fantasy football, and we are going to start with some news and notes. We're going to begin in the NFC North with the Green Bay backfield. Arthur, if I own Eddie Lacy, what the heck should I do? I mean, James Starks was probably already a must-add, and if he's available in your league somehow, go pick him up. But I know the narrative on Lacy is that he struggled to this point last year, and then he took off. Do you see Lacy taking off again this year, or is it more of a timeshare with Starks?
No, I anticipate Lacy is going to get going. I think the bye comes at a perfect time for that club. They will be off this weekend, of course. And like you said, I think his production to this point has pretty much mirrored last year. He was one of the most consistent players down the home stretch for fantasy owners last season. I really anticipate it's going to be a similar situation again. Now, that being said, I did pick up James Starks. I spent almost a quarter of my budget in one league because he did happen to be available. And all it takes is one injury, obviously, regardless of how Lacy's playing in one of the best offenses in football. So I don't think Starks should be available on any leagues. And if he is, go grab him. But I think patience is needed. The one difference here is that Lacy actually didn't start the game. Starks earned the start. McCarthy said it was performance-based. Some people have been speculating whether it's conditioning related. I'm not so sure about that. I think that there's a little bit, there's not much to that. But it's a situation worth monitoring, of course, and it certainly requires patience for Lacy owners, which I know is kind of tough to ask for at this point.
Yeah, with Starks starting, is that just McCarthy just trying to kick Lacy in the butt a little bit?
It could be. I mean, I really think that Lacy's banged up. McCarthy said afterwards, said as much, and then their running backs coach kind of indicated the same thing. And they're a team that will ride the hot hand, if you will. That's the way they put it. So Starks has come up huge for them in their two biggest wins to this point in Seattle and San Diego. So, look, Lacy is the much higher pedigree player. He's a much more unique talent. He's a much more overall, you know, balanced skill set type of talent. So I really think that this is going to you know, come back to earth or kind of come back to what we'd expect sooner than later. But certainly it's troubling. I mean, I know a lot of people spent the first overall pick on Lacy. So it's one of those, you know, whether it's CJ Anderson or Lacy or DeMarco Murray, a number of different guys, the first round of fantasy drafts, as I know we hit on, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, has been pretty difficult, obviously.
All right, we will stick with the NFC North. Minnesota Vikings rookie wide receiver Stephon Diggs. He's got 19 targets in his past two games. I think he may be, Arthur, you can speak better this than I could, but maybe the number two wide receiver option for the Vikings now. Stephon Diggs is pretty much a must-add at this point, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, he is, and I like him a lot, the fifth rounder out of Maryland. He's a, you know, he's a talented kid. He can do a lot of things really well. He's you know, a smaller guy with the quickness and route running ability, more than like a go up and get it type receiver like Charles Johnson, who they thought was going to bust out this year. Johnson has been banged up, didn't play last week because of the ribs injury, and I'm not sure what his status will be for Sunday, but Mike Zimmer has said that regardless of Johnson's health, that Diggs has earned an opportunity to stay on the field. So certainly that's, you know, whichever way you look at it, it's obviously encouraging for guys who have stock in Diggs, not so much for Johnson. The only reason I might not call it a must add is because that's one of the more conservative offenses in the NFL right now. I think that's in large part, well, it's a combination of having Adrian Peterson and Teddy Bridgewater's I don't want to say slow development in year two, but he doesn't have much of an offensive line and not really any consistent weapons around him. So, you know, I suppose he's worth going out there and getting, but I think you have to kind of be reasonable in your expectations. But there's no doubt he has been their best receiver the past 2 weeks, and that does include Mike Wallace, who, of course, they are paying a hefty sum to go out there and get this offseason.
All right, let's move on to another wide receiver, a guy who I think might be a sneaky ad this week, and that's New England Patriots receiver Brandon LaFell. Now, you're going to want to monitor his injury status. He's been on the PUP list, and he still remains there, but he may come off this week. He was New England's number two wideout last year, and with Tom Brady going on with this revenge tour that he's not stopping on, I think LaFell, if he's not owned, he's probably owned in about a quarter of leagues. He's worth a stash at the end of your roster, isn't he?
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's actually closer to about 50% of leagues now. I was checking on Yahoo shortly before we started taping, so I wouldn't waste a lot of time if you are interested in going out and getting LaFell, and I believe that people should be, especially if you have a need at wide receiver. As you mentioned, John, number three in targets, number two receiver last year for New England, and this is a much different offense. Brady is as good as any quarterback in football right now and has been slinging it all over the yard. So he has the trust of Brady. He doesn't have a lot of other consistent weapons aside from Edelman and Gronk. I know this sounds familiar. I think we've been saying that for a few years now, but LaFell brings size and he brings speed, and that's something that they don't have elsewhere in the wide receiving core. I was able to go out and get him in one league this morning, and I would encourage others to do the same. But like John said at the top, you got to monitor his status and see where he's at with regards to coming off PUP.
All right, last guy we're going to talk about. Brian Hoyer seems to be the guy in Houston now. He threw for 3 touchdowns against the Jaguars. Yes, it was the Jaguars. But he also threw for 2 touchdowns against the Colts the week before, threw for 2 touchdowns against Atlanta the week before that. You know, with Hopkins being a target monster and now Arian Foster is healthy, Hoyer worth a stream if you've got a guy on bye, you think?
Sure, yeah. I mean, as you mentioned, Hoyer is Bill O'Brien's guy until he isn't. that's what we've learned. There's not a lot of a method to O'Brien's madness, but all that being said, DeAndre Hopkins is the best wide receiver in football right now, and he is getting targeted at a historic rate. It's been promising to watch, whether it's Hoyer or Mallett. They've been force feeding Nook, and that's going to continue. And hey, you got to give the guy credit. He's 1-0 in his second stint as the starter there. He's been very productive, and I think he certainly has a ceiling. But the Texans lead the NFL in both plays called, offensive plays ran, and also pass attempts. So the opportunity is plentiful right now. And Brian Hoyer, I mean, we've seen what's going on, obviously, at the quarterback position in fantasy football. There had been some disappointing guys that were expected to be tabbed as starters. So, yeah, if you have a need, I would say go out and grab Hoyer. I'm thinking about doing so. I saw he's available in one league I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to keep playing at this pace, why not?
Right.
All right, we are going to go game by game this week and identify some of our top plays for each team. So, Arthur, we're going to start on the Thursday game. That is Seattle at San Francisco. Seattle is favored by 6.5 with a 42 over-under. And this will be, if you're in your season-long league or on daily, whether you're on FanDuel or DraftKings, assuming it's still legal in your state by the time you get to play. Arthur, who do you like in Seattle-San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, not really too many guys I'd be, really hot to throw into my lineup. 42 over-under, as you mentioned, is the lowest of the week, tied for the lowest of the week. And we know how these Seattle-San Francisco bloodbaths typically go. They're low-scoring, they're close games, they're defensive struggles. So I just, the obvious candidates, obviously, if you have Marshawn Lynch, if you have Jimmy Graham, it was encouraging to see Jimmy Graham's production last week finally spike. I know everyone's been waiting on that.
Did Daryl Bevel just realize that Jimmy Graham was on the team?
That's a good question. It's certainly been slow going with regard to involving him, and it might be a little less curious if the Seahawks had, say, the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiving core, but they don't really have anyone of note. So it's been bizarre how slow that's been. But that being said, you got to ride that wave, and that wave appears to have arrived. So those are the two obvious candidates. Russell Wilson's actually playing okay. It's more that Seattle defense that's a little confounding. And the same can be said with regard to Colin Kaepernick's performance the past 2 weeks. Four touchdowns, no interceptions. He had a huge game in the win over the Ravens last week, but he historically has not played well at all against Seattle. So not real high on Kaepernick, and not super high on Anquan Boldin, who's also a hot streak for him has coincided with Kaepernick's. But you know, that Seattle secondary is struggling, but he'll still see plenty of Richard Sherman. So I think he's probably, you know, maybe a wide receiver three at best this week in spite of what he's done the past couple.
Yeah, there are a couple of times maybe in daily that you want to target Kaepernick when he's, you know, especially low price. Last week he was minimum price pretty much everywhere. This is not one of them. This is, I think, a great week on daily to enter the Thursday contest and don't play anybody from those contests.
And Kaepernick's not running. That's what's weird. I mean, he has shown some things as a passer the past couple weeks, but obviously it's that added allure of him picking up points on the ground, and we haven't seen much of that this year. So, you know, I'm not really quite sure what's going on there in San Francisco. Haven't been since the offseason, but at least they're playing good defense and they're playing better at home. So it should be an entertaining game. It always is between these two teams.
All right, Sunday morning game. That's right, we've got another London game this week. Buffalo against Jacksonville. It's a 42 over-under game. Buffalo is currently favored by 5.5. Arthur, anybody you like in this London game? Those games are traditionally not that great.
Yeah, nothing really jumps out at me once again. You know, Blake Bortles is certainly on a hot stretch, even, you know, in spite of throwing a couple interceptions last week, still put up some huge numbers. And the Bills secondary is good. It's been good, but it's also been beatable. So depending on your quarterback situation, I could see throwing Bortles in there. It's kind of the opposite ends of the spectrum with regard to the number one receivers for these two clubs. Allen Robinson appears to have avoided a scare with the leg injury, so you're definitely going to want to have him in your lineup. Allen Hurns certainly has been on a roll as well, but in Buffalo it's not looking good at all. Sammy Watkins on crutches in a walking boot, and that came as he was catching a touchdown and right after all the griping about a lack of targets. So that's disappointing to see for Watkins owners. Percy Harvin didn't even make the trip to London. So as far as the Bills go, keep an eye on Tyrod Taylor, of course, and Charles Clay might be the number one guy there, and then LeSean McCoy finally found something last week, and that Jaguars run defense is certainly exploitable. So McCoy, you know, you guys have been waiting on him, and certainly he'll be in your lineup this week.
Yeah, I want no part of this game, and I'm just going to pretend that it's not happening. I'm just going to move on from there.
You know, I like those early London games. I agree, and there's not a ton of appeal with these teams, but it's kind of fun just to wake up or even, you know, still be laying in bed and put the TV on and see some football on the screen. So that's cool at least, right?
I mean, that's nice. I'd like it to be good football. We'll move on to the next game, Cleveland at St. Louis. Another 42 over-under game, St. Louis favored by 5.5. Pretty much Todd Gurley, and that's it out of this one.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, Gurley, obviously, you're going to roll with. And like you said, aside from that, I don't know. McCown is still getting it done. I think he exceeded expectations against the best defense in football last year with last week, in the Broncos, still threw a pair of touchdowns. So if you're at that point where you are looking to play Josh McCown, I guess you can continue that role, but hopefully you have better options, obviously.
All right, next game. Pittsburgh is at Kansas City. There's no over-under yet. I think they're still waiting on some injury information there. Pittsburgh currently favored by 2. Landry Jones maybe possibly getting the start for Pittsburgh?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say it's a strong likelihood. I know Roethlisberger's back on the practice field, but you're certainly not going back to Mike Vick after seeing what Jones was able to do last week. Obviously he is, you know, irrelevant for fantasy purposes, so I think it's going to be the usual suspects. Of course, Le'Veon Bell, although Kansas City was terrific defending the run and Adrian Peterson a week ago, but of course you'll have Bell in there. Of course you're going to have Brown and Bryan. I know Antonio Brown owners are kind of just playing the waiting game right now, and we'll see if that ends this week. Who knows? Martavis Bryant came up with an awesome touchdown catch, so I think the time has come for those who are waiting for Martavis Bryant. The time is now. With Kansas City, I'm avoiding that entire offense at all costs. I don't know. You may have an update on the Jeremy Maclin injury, but I don't know who else you'd look to there, obviously, with Charles out already.
Yeah, no update on Maclin. I think if you're in daily, Antonio Brown's price has dipped pretty significantly, especially compared to gosh, 3 weeks ago he was more than 9,000 on DraftKings. Now he's 7,900. I think that's more than reasonable if it's Jones or Roethlisberger, sure. And even double stacking with Martavis Bryant, because I think Pittsburgh's just going to throw all day on this Kansas City defense that really just can't stop anybody through the air at this point.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I would just say quickly, and I think people know this already, Ben Roethlisberger is a warrior. If he's back on the practice field Wednesday, you know, who knows? He's one of the toughest guys in this league. And as soon as he gets back, Antonio Brown goes back to being, you know, arguably the best fantasy receiver out there. So as John said, sometimes these daily sites are a little slow to pick up on some of these trends, and that might be an opportunity to capitalize.
All right, Houston at Miami. Miami, a 4.5-point favorite with a 44.5 over under. We talked a little bit about Brian Hoyer. I think obviously Hopkins and Foster. If you're on their team, you're playing them, and if you're in daily, you're probably looking at both of those guys. What about on the Miami side? Lamar Miller looked pretty good last week, didn't he?
I was just going to say, if you're a Lamar Miller owner, hopefully you have your thank you note already in the mail to Dan Campbell, the interim coach of the Dolphins. What a sea change that was. That was a something. I don't know if the Dolphins will be able to sustain this, but the physicality on both sides of the ball and the emphasis on the run game is very, very encouraging. The Texans' defense is not very, very good. So, yes, absolutely, with Lamar Miller, you'll have him in there. Jordan Cameron caught a touchdown. I know people drafted him pretty high, and he finally came through. It wasn't a big game, but he did find the end zone. So that kind of ended what's been pretty disappointing days for the Dolphins pass catchers. So maybe Cameron you're going to look at, and you know, maybe Jarvis Landry as maybe a wide receiver two or three as well.
All right. Game I'll be interested in, Jets at New England. New England is a 9-point favorite. It's a 48 over under total. You're playing all of your Patriots, I assume, even though it's against the Jets defense, Arthur?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, you're the one who's been saying it, all Patriots all the time. I don't know how that changes. But I will also be very, very excited to see Todd Bowles versus Bill Belichick round one. It should be fun. You know, teams don't normally have a lot of success pressuring Brady or at least sending blitzes, but that's, you know, Todd Bowles' DNA. So that's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, yes, roll with the Patriots. And on the New York side, you know, obviously Brandon Marshall has become a must start every week. One of the more pleasant surprises in fantasy football. And, Chris Ivory has to be in there as well. New England's shown some susceptibility on the ground. I know that with the high over-under like this, if the Jets fall behind, maybe Ivory won't be able to get crazy. But, you know, he's been very, very good, and I'm sure we'll be in lineups as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I like the potential game script for Ivory, so maybe I'm right on Eric Decker a little bit because I think the Jets are going to have to throw, and I think they can find some success through the air. But, yeah, I mean, if it's close, then Ivory's going to be a big role in that. Moving on, NFC North battle. Minnesota at Detroit. It's a 44.5 over under. Minnesota favored by 2.5. Arthur, who do you like out of that one?
You know, I like Minnesota. I think they're going to kind of cure their road woes under Mike Zimmer, but I know you're more interested in the fantasy side of things. I also like Adrian Peterson quite a bit, coming off one of his worst games as a professional, I think we alluded to, against the Chiefs last week. I don't think that the Lions can sustain what they were able to do, at least in terms of run defense. They shut down Matt Forte and the Bears last week. I don't think that continues, and, you know, obviously you're going to roll with Adrian Peterson. And then on the Lions side, it's, you know, it's very interesting. Matt Stafford was tremendous last week. It was the first time we've seen it this year, but you know, it's a much tougher challenge with this Vikings defense. And at the same time, I don't know, I'm intrigued. He's at home again. This is an opportunity to build a little bit of momentum before they go to London in week 8. So you know, Stafford is interesting if you don't have a lot of other options. And then Calvin Johnson will draw Xavier Rhodes, who's given him trouble the past couple times, but you know, certainly Calvin Johnson is going to be in your lineup one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think in daily, Adrian Peterson's a really nice tournament strategy just because of recency bias. He did not come through in a plum matchup at home against Kansas City last week. So I really like Adrian Peterson as a tournament matchup, probably lower owned than he should be in daily tournaments, going up against a pretty bad Lions rush defense.
It is, and we'll see. They could get healthier. Haloti Ngata, it has to be getting closer. He's missed the past two games with the calf injury. And, you know, the Vikings offensive line is not good. Adrian Peterson didn't look like himself last week. I think I don't remember what the number is. I believe he had 12 carries that either gained zero yardage or lost yardage last week. So that's not Adrian Peterson, and I know he is going to be eager to bounce back. He's had a lot of success in the past against the Lions. So, yeah, absolutely look to capitalize off anyone who's sort of, you know, off Peterson at this point.
All right, Atlanta at Tennessee. Tennessee is the underdog by 4.5 points with a 48 over-under. That's with Marcus Mariota kind of banged up. I don't think I'm playing Mariota this week if I've got him. How about you?
No, I don't think so. I'm you'll have to double check this, but I believe, I don't know if they've already named Mettenberger the starter, but I think there's a strong likelihood that it's going to be Zach Mettenberger, in which case you are steering clear of all the Titans. You know, I suppose Kendall Wright could be a flex or a wide receiver three option, but he's been disappointing as of late. So, yeah, no, that matchup worries me a bit. And though Dick LeBeau has that Titans defense playing pretty well, obviously the Devontae Freeman owners, of course the Julio Jones owners and the Matt Ryan owners, we'll see if this is an opportunity for Ryan to bounce back. That pass defense, as I said, in Nashville has been better, but not that much of a pass rush. And that's what's been kind of shaking Ryan a little bit lately. So we'll see if this is an opportunity for him to kind of get it going again.
And if we're talking Falcons, we have to talk about the top fantasy player, I don't know, ever, Devonta Freeman, for what he's done over the past couple of weeks. Going up against this Tennessee defense, is this going to keep going?
You may be asking the wrong guy. I'm eating my words from a few weeks ago. I think I was kind of knocking Freeman for his yards per carry average and saying don't sleep on Tevin Coleman once he's healthy again. So you may want to ask someone a little more knowledgeable on what's going on there. I have nothing else bad to say about Devonta Freeman. It has been awesome, and obviously you're insane if you have him and he's not in your lineup. So we'll see. Until proven otherwise, he's obviously a plug and play with pretty high expectations, I'd think.
Yeah, his DraftKings points over the past four games, 45, 37, 35, 38. That's ridiculous.
It is.
I don't know.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't play Devonta Freeman, especially in cash games. He's just, you got to plug and play at this point. Moving on, Tampa Bay at Washington, 43 over under. Washington is favored by 3.5. I don't like anybody in this game. How about you, Arthur?
Not really.
All right, we'll move on. No, we're just moving on to the next game. Nobody wants a piece of Tampa Bay and Washington.
I would say Doug Martin. Before the bye, right, he looked good. The Bucs run game got a little something going, but that Redskins defense is pretty good. You probably want to look elsewhere, as you said.
All right, we'll move on then. Here's a game that has some fantasy goodness to it. New Orleans at Indianapolis. 52 over under. Indianapolis favored by 4.5. I don't trust Chuck Pagano whatsoever, but I think Indy can still find its way into a few points in this one. How about you?
Man, I would hope so. If not, it might be the end for Pagano after the game. The Saints obviously got a little something going in an upset, giving Atlanta their first loss the week before. So they'll have an extra rest, the mini bye, if you will. And the Saints are looking interesting. Ben Watson coming off a career game. And Drew Brees, I think, is kind of being underrated right now a little bit. I know the Saints have been disappointing, but he's been pretty steady. So you're going to have Brees in there. You're going to certainly have Brandon Cooks in there. Mark Ingram, you're going to have in there. The Colts don't really play much of any defense at all. And on the other side of things, it's a big bounce back opportunity. You know, everyone's talking about the Colts and how much trouble they're in. And we'll see what that means for guys like Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton with their backs against the wall. Hilton finally found the end zone last week. Maybe it's something he can build on.
Yeah, and on the New Orleans side, I still like Willie Snead, especially in daily. Ben Watson is not going to have 12 targets again. That's just not going to happen. Willie Snead is still a major part of the passing game and still seeing an increase in snaps. So I think he's a good cheap play out of that game. We'll move on to Oakland at San Diego. San Diego favored by 4. Oakland with a 47 over under. I'm done playing Melvin Gordon, and I think if you're in season long, I wouldn't blame you if you waived him for somebody. Arthur, anybody you like out of this game?
Well, we don't keep secrets here, so I have to admit that I benched Phillip Rivers last week. Phillip Rivers threw for 503 yards. So that was, you know, a decent day for him in Green Bay. He's on pace to set the yardage record, I believe, and the completions record in the NFL this year. So Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates, for that matter, obviously now that he's back, you're rocking and rolling with those guys. That Oakland secondary, not good at all. With regards to Melvin Gordon, I agree completely. The man cannot hold on to the football, and you can throw another rookie running back, Amir Abdullah, into that conversation. You just have to wait and see at this point. They need to, I think, get a taste to success before you get back on them. On the Oakland side of things, you know, certainly Latavius Murray, I think, is a solid play. The Chargers' run defense is trash. And we'll see if Derek Carr and Amari Cooper can turn it on again after the bye. It's been a couple bad games for Carr. But again, this Chargers defense, I don't think, is all that good. And it'll be good to see Amari Cooper back on the field again.
And Oakland still bad at defending the tight ends. So Antonio Gates and Ladarius Green are both in play.
Absolutely. Right. And the Chargers wideouts are banged up. I think Keenan Allen is hurt right now. I know Stevie Johnson is still nicked up. So believe it or not, Ladarius Green, I think he actually had a fairly productive day last week, even with Gates back. So if you're looking for a streamer, if you're desperate at the position, you could probably do worse than even their backup, Ladarius Green.
All right. Dallas at the New York Giants. The Giants are favored by 3.5. This game opened at an over-under of 48. It's down to 45 as of Wednesday afternoon. There's a lot of questions on both teams. Jerry Jones is not ruling out Dez Bryant, which is kind of crazy to me.
I'm ruling out Dez Bryant.
That's fine. Arthur has ruled out Dez Bryant, everybody. Just keep him on your
bench. He's 5 weeks removed from foot surgery, and they just gave the man, what was it, 48-something million guaranteed?
Yeah.
It would be absolute insanity to rush Dez Bryant back on the field this week. But then again, we're talking about Jerry Jones, so I take it back. I am officially activating Dez Bryant and the insanity thing that they got going in Dallas. But no, in all seriousness, really interesting. It's going to be Matt Castle under center. The Cowboys come off the bye week, and they're going to have Matt Castle replacing Brandon Weeden at quarterback, and it sounds like Christine Michael is going to replace Joseph Randall in the backfield. So that's nothing if not intriguing. If anyone was able to go out there and grab Michael, that's the guy they traded for from Seattle, and that Dallas offensive line, they got a new left guard in there as well, Lyle Collins. I'm interested. I think I'm going to try and roll with Michael where I can. And on the Giants side of things, I don't know how to figure this out. I think that over-under was higher before they saw the turd that the Giants laid on Monday night in Philadelphia. That was just horrendous and obviously slowed what had been a really good role for Eli Manning, Odell Beckham and company.
Let me ask you guys this. Even if you go back, like going back to Bryant, if they do decide to play him, do you play him if you have him on your bench, only because does he make a comeback and all of a sudden is amazing despite our beliefs that he's not going to be able to play?
I wouldn't. I think if Dez Bryant's out there, which again, I don't think is going to happen, but if somehow by some miracle he is out there, I think he's out there as a decoy. I think that he's just sort of, going through some routes and he's not going to see the full percentage of snaps and they're not going to throw a bunch to him. So I think he's probably purely out there as a decoy. Arthur?
Agreed. And, obviously everyone spent a first-round pick on him or a high second-round pick, so I understand the temptation to rush him out there. I get what Dan is asking, but I think it would hurt me less to see him explode on my bench once than to see him filling a spot and be a decoy, which is, I agree with John, which is what I'd fully expect.
And Christine Michael, minimum salary on DraftKings. So for the opportunity that he's going to get, it's entirely possible he could blow up. We'll move on to the Sunday night game, Philadelphia, Carolina. Carolina, undefeated Carolina, 3-point favorites, 46.5 over-under total. This game kind of intrigues me. What about you, Arthur?
Yeah, absolutely. The Panthers are a great story right now. I think everyone had sort of written them off in the offseason, and here they are undefeated, coming off one of the biggest wins that organization has had in years. Cam Newton pulled up his big boy pants in the fourth quarter and just torched the Seahawks. So, Greg Olsen went off. Certainly he's going to be in your lineup. Cam Newton is interesting, though. I will say that Eagles defense, quietly, you saw what they did to Eli Manning. That pass rush is pretty fierce and may not really bode well for Jonathan Stewart. They've got a pretty good thing going there in the middle of Fletcher Cox and Benny Logan. And then on the Eagles side of things, I'm not really ready to drink the DeMarco Murray Kool-Aid yet, especially not against this Panthers defense. And Sam Bradford, I'm over it at this point. I don't know about you. And
over
I think
it.
We were both. Yeah, I think we were both excited about Sam Bradford, too, in the offseason. But the guy can't really do anything if there's any sense of pressure anywhere near him. Jordan Matthews has been a disappointment. He's dropping passes, and that whole Eagles offense remains a mess. And I'm kind of off of it for now. I can't believe I'm saying it. Chip Kelly's supposed to be this mastermind, but it's just in shambles at the moment.
Yeah, and even when it is going good, they spread it out so much. Bradford will go to 8 receivers in a game. So, even if you're looking at a guy like Jordan Matthews, he's going to get the most targets. But what does that actually mean? you know, is it eight max? And he catches five and drops two. So I'm off of the Eagles' offense in daily, which I did not think I'd be saying this year. And Cam Newton is really intriguing to me, especially at his price point on DraftKings. I believe he's the, eighth or ninth most expensive quarterback between Carson Palmer and Phillip Rivers. So interesting contrarian option on the Sunday night game. We'll move on. Last game, the Monday night game, Baltimore at Arizona. Arizona is an 8.5-point favorite with a 48 over under total. I'm playing all of the Cardinals this week. If you have Cardinals on your roster season long, and go out and target them in daily, this Baltimore defense is total trash, and Arizona's playing at home. I'm all aboard Arizona this week.
Yeah, that makes two of us. I think Carson Palmer was due to come down to earth, and he did, but he still put up, I believe, pretty huge yardage totals while coming down to earth with a couple turnovers. So John Brown arrived, 200-yard game. I've been waiting for that. Didn't find the end zone, but obviously still a big, big day for him. Larry Fitzgerald was just under a buck receiving as well. So he was, you know, he's been so steady. One of the best surprises, I think, in fantasy this year. Yeah, that Arizona offense, fire it up. Although one interesting development is Andre Ellington's demise. I think he had nine. He was really almost non-existent last week, and they're riding Chris Johnson. David Johnson, the rookie, I believe, had a couple fumbles. So right now that is Chris Johnson's show. On the Ravens side of things, if there's anything encouraging, it's that Justin Forsett looks healthy. Joe Flacco is putting up some big numbers. Steve Smith returned. And I guess in a high over-under game, you're going to have to play the usual suspects. But, man, what a disaster the Ravens are right now.
Yeah, and going back to the Arizona running back situation, Bruce Arians, it never felt like he was a big Andre Ellington guy to me, that he was just sort of – he's on the roster, but he doesn't want to use him if he doesn't have to.
Yeah, he likes the guys that he could ride, the workhorses, if you will. And while that's not necessarily Chris Johnson either, certainly he has held up thus far. Ellington is pretty fragile. You still like the big play ability. I think he's kind of a boomer bust guy because he can still take it to the house anytime. But I just kind of am in wait and see mode there. And I've said it time and again, I love David Johnson, the rookie, but he's got to hold on to the football and he's got to get a few more, you know, opportunities consistently before he becomes a real viable fantasy option, I believe.
All right, that'll do it for the podcast today. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts and listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared to help you win throughout the season. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you've not done so already, please head over and subscribe and write a review if you can and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Like the most dependable and longest-lasting trucks on the road, Chevy Truck Month rolls on. Check out all of the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to Arthur Arkish for coming on today's show. Our producer today was Dan Mott. I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, we hope you have a great week of fantasy football.